Hey everybody, and welcome back. This is Amanda Moxley, and I am so happy and grateful to be here with as your hostess of the 2015 International Interview Series. I am Amanda Moxley, and I am known as the Healthy Wealthy Biz Mentor, and I coach fun-loving, free-spirited women on a mission with a vision: how to create profitable, portable, and playful businesses that rock and pop. And I have gathered all my soul sisters and successful women, not just in business, but also in life and in health and in, you know, all different facets of life into this interview series. And today we're going down to Australia to talk to Sandy Forrester. And Sandy has such an amazing story, and I'm so excited for all of you to meet her. And, you know, I'm really asking my speakers to really share the nitty-gritty of what it was and how they popped their biz, and so that we can, like, make this whole success thing not such a mystery, but, like, really help you break it down by sharing our story so that you can apply what we're learning. So, you know, what we're sharing today has the possibility to transform your life. So be completely present and listen and just open up to receive the gems that Sandy's going to share with us today. We're going to be sharing the good, the bad, and the truly heinous to make 2015 the year that you pop your biz. So I have known Sandy, probably about 2.5 years now. We've been, you know, in this little mastermind group and just totally connecting there and having a really good connection. And I've read her book. I love her book. I love her story. I've heard her interviewed before. She's like a total rock star, international rock star. She's like, you were in The Secret, weren't you?
I was filmed for The Secret, but that's a whole nother story.
Okay, yeah, okay, well, you know, let's just put it that way. She was filmed for The Secret, and Sandy, I'll give you all her professional bio, but Sandy took her biggest challenge, which is so much of so many of us listening, a similar challenge, her biggest challenge, and turned it into a vision of possibility for millions of people around the world. She inspires, empowers, and encourages others to create more than they ever thought possible. When her income went from $15,000 a year to over $150,000 within 12 months, she thought her money worries were over. But lack of money skills and the right mindset to keep that wealth meant she once again lost everything. This led to avid research on the subject of money, prosperity, and abundance, and how to make it flow, grow, and multiply. Sandy has since gone from $100,000 in debt to being a wildly wealthy woman. By discovering and applying the secrets of attracting wealth through the power of the subconscious mind and utilizing the power of the internet to connect with people from over 188 countries around the world to build her various businesses. From her days as a sole parent struggling to raise two young children, she has experienced a complete turnaround with many successes, including creating over $1.5 million in less than a year. Her success captured the attention of Australian film producer Rhonda Byrne, who then selected Sandy to be filmed by the crew of the worldwide phenomena, The Secret. Right? I remember watching that back in 2007. There was Sandy. Sandy is an avid student of learning how to draw prosperity easily and effortlessly into her life using the laws of attraction, which she has implemented with amazing results. She loves to share the information with others through live teleseminars, workshops, and seminars, and she teaches the secrets of strategies found in her international bestseller, How to Be Wildly Wealthy Fast. And I read that. I love that. Sandy has a passion for sharing the principles of creating a life filled with richness, abundance, prosperity, and happiness in an easy-to-understand, empowering, and extremely fun way. She has a passion for raw food and chocolate. So do I. And even better, when the two are combined to make delicious gourmet desserts. Loves to travel the world, 42 countries and counting, and makes mango and coconut smoothies and meditates as often as possible, not at the same time. So welcome, Sandy. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Amanda. I'm really excited to be able to share some little tidbits with your audience.
All right, let's do it. So tell us your story, because it's so inspiring, and, you know, there's a lot of people who were on welfare and $100,000 in debt and are, you know, not anywhere near making it to a million. So give us your story.
Okay, so the short version is, it was probably about 14, 15 years ago, I was designing and manufacturing swim and gym wear here on the Sunshine Coast, where I live in beautiful Queensland, Australia. And I'd actually married my boyfriend. I met him when I was 15. We went out for, 10, 11 years, 12 years, something like that. Got married, had two kids. And when my youngest was 6 months old and my oldest was 3 years old, we split up. So I'd kind of taken what was my hobby, which was designing and manufacturing swimwear, had to turn it into a business, had to try and make money from it. But that just, seriously, never worked. Because in my mind, it was always, I'm not a business person. I just like being creative. So I just got further and further in debt, and I ended up $100,000 in debt and on welfare. So that was back in 1999. And then I discovered the law of attraction. Then I discovered coaching. And around 5 years later, I was a millionaire. Now,
Wow. That
might sound like, it might sound like, what? But, seriously, when you hear how much I completely dived into and embraced and completely lived the law of attraction, you'll understand why. It's like anything. You could tell someone who is overweight that they have to exercise and eat well, and you could tell 10 people. And, out of those 10 people, they're not all going to get the same results. Someone who's going to go completely full out is going to end up looking hot stuff at the end of it, but someone who sort of sits around the couch eating, chocolate biscuits is going to end up pretty much where they are. And it's the same with the law of attraction. I decided that where I was in my life, $100,000 in debt and on welfare, was not where I wanted to be. And I felt like I'd been born into the wrong life. It was like I wanted to be free. And that, to me, that meant also being financially free, being able to do what I want, being able to travel the world, being able to live a life that really made my heart sing. And so, I felt like I was born into the wrong body. But when I discovered the law of attraction, I thought, okay, I'm going to give this a go. And I didn't just give it a go. I really, as I said, I embraced it completely. I made sure I was doing different processes or exercises every single day. Even when it looked like everything was falling apart and I was going backwards, I still did what I had to do. I still visualized and meditated and said affirmations and did, one of the dozens of processes that I've now got in my book. And it's like I did something every day because I knew if I could just change who I was at a cellular level, change who I was vibrationally, change who I was energetically, then the universe would have to deliver. Even though at times I completely doubted that because it looked like the opposite, I kept going. And, I always say to people, when it comes to manifesting, when it comes to attracting prosperity, when it comes to creating a life you truly love, sometimes for some of us, we seem to be pulled back further and further away from what we actually want. And we think, what's going on? The universe doesn't love me. I've been singled out to struggle. That's how it's going to be all my life. That's my destiny. That's my karma, blah, blah, blah. But what it actually is, I believe, it's just the universe. It's like you're in this massive, big slingshot. And you're sort of leaning up against that elastic and the universe is pulling you back further and further and further. And what you desire seems to be so far away and getting further away. And it's like, what's wrong? But when the time is right, the universe lets that slingshot go and you just fire so far forward, so far beyond everyone else. And that's what happened to me. So although it seemed like I was struggling, even though I was doing all the processes, all these fabulous law of attraction processes, and like, what's wrong? But the universe was just waiting for the right time. And pretty much that right time was after I'd been really diving into the law of attraction for about 3 or 4 years and never giving up. And then suddenly, ideas came to me. And I think for me, that was the big change. It was understanding that continuing to focus on what I really wanted, which was to be a millionaire, continuing to take action every day, even though sometimes it didn't look like I was getting anywhere, continuing to put my mindset and put myself vibrationally, energetically in alignment with being a millionaire every day, even though, as I said, it looked like I was getting further and further away from it. But when you combine all that and put it together, the universe has to deliver. It simply cannot ignore you. When you vibrationally align and become at one with what it is you desire, even before you have it, the universe must deliver. And that is pretty much my message now to people. Don't give up. Keep going, because the universe is just waiting for the right time to give you what it is you desire. And you could give up one step away from what it is you truly want, and you will never know. You've just got to keep going.
Oh my goodness. So how did you, so you were doing your processes and you were, and I mean, even though, cause I mean, I've definitely been working the law of attraction since, you know, I was like 17 or 18 and yet there's still like, I'll go in fluxes with it, like super high energy. And then sometimes like, what do you do when you do like, you put it your all, or you think you're putting your all and you're just affirming and then, but then you get like let down cause it doesn't work. You know, like that's, I hear that from a lot of clients. It's like they were doing all the affirmations and the meditation and the, you know, getting in the vortex. I mean, so, I mean, you, do you have to do it even more? Like, how do you not get discouraged or feel like you're going to get, like it's not working or you can't muster up? It's like, you know, you were hurt before and you can't just muster up the energy to keep doing it.
It's challenging. It doesn't work. I mean, yeah, it, I get where, you, where you're coming from because literally I'd been in that place so many times before. Like there's nothing more challenging than being $100,000 in debt and having absolutely no money and then getting one of those red letters from someone you owe money to. And in that moment thinking, oh, I am now a debt-free millionaire. Oh, I am abundant. It's like, forget it. That is so not true. What a liar. And like it is really challenging to move from what seems to be your reality, which where I was, you know, $100,000 in debt and on welfare and just so much money owed, to actually getting vibrationally to that place where you can focus on abundance and actually feel like it can happen. Because when you're in a situation like I was, where I did owe so much money and I had so little, when, sometimes when I focused on being a millionaire, it felt like chalk on a chalkboard, or when you rub your nail down the chalkboard, it just felt so like uncomfortable and just yuck. I couldn't even think about it because I felt that distance between where I was and where I wanted to be. So sometimes I had to rein it in, and sometimes instead of in that moment focusing on being a debt-free millionaire and, you know, having the lifestyle I wanted, instead I would just focus on having enough money to pay this bill. You know, if I could just have $150 to pay this bill, that would make me feel rich. Oh, imagine if I had the money to pay this bill. And just bringing it right back to, you know, whatever situation I was in. And that allowed me to sort of, to, because it's not such a big jump, it doesn't seem like it's impossible. So therefore, it feels doable. And in that moment, thinking about having $150 to pay this huge, seemingly huge bill, It just made me feel better. Like that made me feel better. Thinking about being a millionaire in the moment where I didn't have the money to pay the $150 bill made me feel worse because it just seemed so far away. But just having the money to pay that bill made me feel better. And that's what the law of attraction is all about. It's all about how you feel. So I, in that moment, I'm better off to just focus on that smaller amount. Even though the universe can give us anything we desire, the universe wants so much more than what we want for ourselves. The universe can outdo us every time, no matter what goal or dream or, you know, whatever it is what we want. The universe can absolutely deliver, but it's our belief that stops it. So sometimes it's better to just bring your big dream down a little bit so that you feel more connected to it, so you do feel better. And when you feel better, then you can expand slightly. And I know for me that was very much what I used to do. But the other thing I used to do, when everything seemed to be falling apart, I would actually get excited. I would start to think about, you know, this is going to be the best after story anyone's ever heard. Like when I get to the, you know, when you do the before and after story, so this part, this is the before, but when I have the after, this is going to make the best story. And I literally have so many great stories from the before because things were so challenging. So I always used to just, it's just a change of mindset. Instead of being like in that place where you're really struggling, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm never going to get out of here. This is tragic. Instead, I would just think, oh my gosh, this is going to be the best before story. And then when I share my after, you know, it's really going to inspire people. And so it's just, again, switching your mindset, just thinking differently about the same situation. And I know those two things, you know, bringing my goal down slightly so I could focus on what made me feel good in the moment, and then understanding that, you know, all disasters are really just a gift before something amazing happens. And so excited in the moment. Yeah, just knowing the universe is going to bring you something better. You don't know what it is, and usually most people go into fear in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of going into that place of, this just means the universe is bringing me something bigger and better. So let's, you know, hang on for the ride because it's coming. And the second you switch your thinking like that is when you actually switch things and allow the universe to bring you something better. Because if you're in fear and worried about the situation you're in and, you know, oh, my gosh, I'm never going to get out of here, that's your point of attraction. That's what you're attracting more of. So it won't change. But if you switch it to, oh, my gosh, the universe is going to bring me something better. It always happens after a big disaster. This is so exciting. That opens the door for the universe to bring it to you. So, yeah.
That is so really true. When I was going through my rock bottom back in 2011, one of my rock bottoms, I remember I was literally like down to my last $200, like no savings. And my coach at the time said, well, this is your seminar story. And I was like, oh, yes, my seminar story. So that is such a juicy gem you're sharing. So thank you for that. And then, like, seriously, did you like just honestly, like, I mean, was it really just mindset? Was it really just getting in that vortex and feeling it? Or did you take a lot of action? I mean, what was going on? Was it a lot of action or was it just visualizing?
So I always say to people, you can't go and sit on a mountaintop and meditate and expect $1 million to drop into your lap. Because it's just not going to happen. It's got to be, I always say the magic is when you combine the practical with the metaphysical, when you combine the two, action with, you know, the mindset. And I love the story about the man who wanted to win the lottery, okay? That was his big goal because he was struggling financially. He wanted to win the lottery. So he's doing his affirmations and he's doing his visualizations and he's really seeing it and feeling it. But then he gets the letter from the car people. They're coming to repossess his car and he's freaking out. So he's doing more processes, more everything he can think of. And then they send him a letter, they're going to foreclose on his house, and he's like completely freaked out. He goes out into the backyard one night, he drops to his knees, looks up at the heavens and says, please, Lord, I'm doing everything I've been taught. I'm saying my affirmations, I'm visualizing, I'm praying, I'm meditating, I'm doing everything I possibly can. You know, all I want to do is win the lottery. Why won't you let it happen? And he hears his voice boom down from the heavens, meet me halfway, buy a ticket. And that's it. You can sit around and meditate till the cows come home. You can sit around and visualize, you know, your absolute perfect life, but you've got to take action. And when you do the two, even if it's not the ideal action, but when you take action as well as do the metaphysical, then you're guided more toward taking the right action, toward taking inspired action. And for me, that's where the magic happened. When I was really immersing myself in law of attraction processes and, you know, doing whatever I could on a daily basis, I was always taking action. And at the start, some of it was ridiculous, stupid, time-wasting and money-wasting action. But as I, you know, continue to focus on what I want, and as I continue to really dive into the metaphysical, those actions became more inspired, and I got, you know, ideas to do certain things. And one of those ideas was one morning I woke up and I had the name Wildly Wealthy Women in my head. So the action I took at that time, this is back in 2003, I think it was, I ran onto the computer, and I registered the domain name, wildlywealthywomen.com. And it was like, okay, so done. That was my action. I didn't know what to do with it at the time. I just registered it. And then a couple of months later, I was talking to my business partner. We were in a direct sales business at the time. It was promoting some real estate education. I suddenly got this great idea to, yes, continue to sell that program, but how about we support particularly women in that program? And what we'll do is we will not only give them that education, but weekly we can have live mentoring calls, because my business partner was all the really boring practical stuff, but she was an asset protection expert and a tax expert and a financial planner and a really, really successful property investor. So she was teaching all that side. And, you know, I said, and I'll teach the mindset side. And so we basically launched this program within a matter of a couple of months. It had made close to $2 million. because people, women, just were hungry for a program that not only supported them through education, but supported them and mentored them consistently on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And we were pretty much the first women's-only mentoring program that I know of in the world. And, I mean, these days, women are so supported through so many different channels. It's just amazing. But back then, it was new, and particularly by the internet and through teleseminar, because, you know, in Australia, I had never even heard of teleseminars before us. So it was really, really exciting. And again, that was just simply taking action. Now, I could have thought of that name and done nothing, like not actually registered it, not gone on and to the internet and registered that domain name. Now, what could have happened, and this has happened to me before when I haven't taken action the moment I've thought of it, someone could have registered that domain name between that time and I would have completely lost an idea that has literally made me, you know, tens of millions of dollars since that first thinking of it. And when you might say, oh, well, how could someone register it? I've gone online to register a domain name and it hasn't been registered. So I do all the checks, see it's not registered, think, oh, I'll do that. Something happens, the phone rings, I go away, come back, you know, an hour or so later and it's been registered. Once you have a thought, once you have an idea, it goes out into the universe. Like, it's coming from the universe, okay? It's not like the idea starts in your head. The idea starts out there in the ether, in the universe, comes into your head. If you don't do something with it, it could have gone into lots of other people's heads and they could run with that idea or that, you know, opportunity. So I always say when something comes to you, just take action. It may end up being the wrong action, but at least you're taking action. You'll get guided toward the right action if you're continuing to, you know, put metaphysical processes and exercises and strategies in place, because the universe is guiding you. And one of those things that I don't teach this a lot, but I really should. I'm starting to tell people more and more. It's like the universe is out there and we're here down on earth, okay? And the universe, you could call the universe anything. Some people call it the divine or source, God, but the universe, it's all one and the same. So between the universe and us, it's like there is a channel, a pipe between us, and the universe is always trying to tell us stuff, to guide us in the right direction, to steer us toward what is absolutely the best and highest good for us. Because the universe, as I said before, always wants more for us than we ever want for ourselves. And there's this channel between us. And what happens is, when we don't tap into our true self, when we are so busy doing the doing and we're just crazy busy running around like chickens with our heads cut off and not really like stopping and taking time to put any metaphysical practices in place, it's like there is a kink in that pipe, or it's like the pipe gets really dirty and messy. And so that signal from the universe sends a signal down, but we just don't hear it. It doesn't either doesn't get to us, or there's so much static we just don't even hear what's being said. But when we do something, and one of the most powerful things you can do is meditate on a daily basis, that pipe gets cleared out. And suddenly we're guided to make a phone call, to reach out to a certain person, to read a certain book, to pick up a certain magazine, to go to a certain place, to do a certain course. It's like we're guided, and the opportunities and the people and the circumstances and the situations just unfold before us, but we have to take the action to get the benefit. And so that's why I'm such a huge believer of marrying the metaphysical with the practical. So the mindset and the doing, when you do the two together, as I said before, that's when the magic happens.
And it's inspired action. It's not like, you know, grinding and pushing. It's literally like you got that, you heard that drop in, and then you take action.
Exactly. And I've done it again. Like, I've got another great story. It's like you said I was filmed for The Secret. Well, the movie The Secret had already come out, but in Australia, we couldn't buy it. There was just no way we could buy it, because the producers had an agreement that they couldn't sell The Secret in Australia till it aired on TV in Australia. So I saw this one-minute trailer, and I didn't know what it was about exactly, because it didn't really tell you. It was just sort of alluding to something really secret. And but I saw that trailer and thought, oh, my gosh, this sounds like an amazing movie. I think it's going to change the world. Oh, my gosh, I want to connect with the people who made it. So I emailed them. just through, I think there was an email on the website. I emailed them and I got an I basically said, this movie is going to transform the world. You are going to change the lives of billions of people. I can just feel it. And, you know, I want to send you a gift. And, I, you know, that was kind of roundabout what I said. And then I got an email back, and it was from Rhonda Byrne, the producer of The Secret. And she said, we get a lot of emails to our website, but they never come to me. Somehow yours has come to me. And, yes, I'd love a gift. So I sent her my book and a couple other products I'd made, and she emailed back, oh, my gosh, did you write this book after you watched The Secret? And I said, haven't seen The Secret. I can't get it in Australia. She said, my gosh, it's like it's parallel. I said, well, you know, I want to see The Secret. So she sent me a copy. I watched it, and it's like, oh, my gosh, why can't we buy this in Australia? And she said, well, you know, you can't buy it because we've got this agreement. And I said, what do you mean? You can't sell to people in Australia. She said, that's right. I said, can somebody else sell to people in Australia? She said, sure, but not, you know, we can't sell to people in Australia. I said, well, I've got a US company. Can I buy The Secret and sell to people in Australia? She said, sure. And so within a matter of, and it just so happened I was going to the US a couple of weeks later, we met up because she was in the same town as I actually was going to. We met up. She phoned me a week or two later and said, we'd love to put you in The Secret. So they filmed me for a whole day. They actually ended up taking someone who was in the original Secret, Esther Hicks, out, and they were going to put me in. But as it turns out, my energy is completely different than Esther Hicks, who's very calm, cool and collected. You can tell I'm highly excitable. And the energy just didn't flow. So they ended up using the two women in the existing Secret and fleshed their parts out. But the sort of the what I'm getting to with this story is that that was just another idea to email them and then to send a gift. And then, and as it turned out, because I was able to import The Secret, I ended up making about $3 million in the space of about a year and a bit simply by doing something that anyone else could have done. They could have, you know, somehow contacted The Secret and found out, you know, how do you get it in Australia and sell it. But, you know, I did that, and it was, again, just another idea. And I consistently have ideas, and no matter how stupid and far-fetched and out there they are, I run with them. And some of them flops, but some of them really, really work. And that's why I say when you combine the metaphysical with taking action, that's where the magic happens. And too many people these days, sit around and just expect because they're doing a few affirmations and a visualization now and again that, you know, their success is going to come. And what's wrong? It's not happening. Well, you've got to take a lot of action. You know, it's, if you, particularly when it comes to, you know, building a business and having success, you've got to take action. But what happens is when you do the metaphysical work, you end up taking inspired action, and things flow better, and you make the right choices, and the success comes quicker. So it's, you've got to combine the two.
I love it. So what kind of, like, did you have any, like, major what I call LBs or limiting beliefs? Like you said, like, your belief system creates your reality. Like, or any, like, major, like, for me, I'm super emotional, so sometimes, like, fear will just come in, or sadness will come in, or anger, and it's like this, like, and so what about, like, how did you manage, like, emotion, or your belief system, like, to overcome, like, fears? And because I talk about how, like, the wounded child is in the way of the wealth consciousness, like your WC1, and it's kind of like, for me, one of my big ahas in these years was that wounded child, like, that part of me that felt, like, unloved or not, you know, cast out, all those things, she was in the way of my wealth consciousness. She was in the way of me, like, you know, becoming, you know, everything I wanted on my vision board. So how did you, Sandy, like, break through those beliefs and even visceral feelings? Like, how did you bust through that or transcend it?
Yeah, and that, for me, that was really a tricky one, because my parents were very much of the mindset that to make someone better, you criticize them. So that's, you know, that's how someone improves. So I consequently had a lot of criticism growing up, and pretty much no praise. I remember the first time my dad praised me. I mean, I love him to death, and I know he loves me, but the first time he praised me, I think I was in my 30s. He said something nice about something I was wearing, and it was like, I can still remember it to this day, because, you know, and that was never praised. So for me, I had a lot of negativity, because my parents always looked at the worst case scenario. You need to be prepared. So, you know, no matter what you did, you had to think about what could be the worst thing that could happen. So we were always focusing on the worst and, you know, being criticized. And it was really not a good place to create success from. So consequently, when I went out into the world and I started to try building my own business, I was always looking for the worst. And if anything good happened, I was always saying, oh, but that's because, and then I'd say, you know, what could potentially happen tomorrow and how it'd be so much worse. So consequently, that's what I was creating all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, changing that mindset into someone who now probably annoys the shit out of people because I tend to always be looking for what's going to go right. I don't want to have those negative conversations. If someone says something's, you know, one way and it's negative, I will automatically steer it toward being positive. So for me, it was just a matter of recognizing that and then just consistently, every time I recognized that I'd said something negative, whether it was out loud or in my head, changing that to something positive. And, you know, it wasn't like I suddenly became a Pollyanna, but it was just that I understood that what we focus on is what we create. So it's like you've just got to change the way you think. Now, my default used to be the negative, used to be, you know, the criticism. My default has now changed to the positive. My default is now always, no matter what happens, even when something tragic's happening and things look like it's all falling apart, which it will no matter what level of success you create. We live in a physical world, and as you know, a person in the physical world, we experience the physical day-to-day of life. And so, you know, even when things really look bad, As I said before, I just get excited about what's around the corner. So I've completely just retrained my brain. And I've done that, you know, through various processes. You know, as I said, I do visualizations and affirmations and vision boards and I like so many different processes. And I guess that's why I wrote How to Be Wildly Wealthy Fast, because I'm not someone who can take a process and just do that thing, you know, let's say the same affirmation for the next 5 months. It's like boring. I need a bit of variety. So I came up with so many different ways to keep me focused on being abundant and keep me continuing to retrain my brain so that, you know, now it's effortless. And I try and explain it to people a little bit like when you're overweight and you are that way because you really don't know anything about exercise or eating, and you suddenly discover, oh my gosh, when you eat real living healthy foods, you will automatically start to lose weight. When you drink more water, you know, you start to flush out those toxins, you automatically start to lose weight. When you move your body more, you're burning more calories, you automatically start to lose weight. So when you start to do all those things, you know, you have to be very vigilant every day. Every time you go to put something in your mouth, you got to think about what it is. And, you know, every time you feel like just sitting there flopping on the couch doing nothing, you think, okay, I should really get up and go for a short walk. Or every time that, you know, you're doing something that's not supporting you, you've got to consciously think about it. But over time, if this is who you are, it's not something you're just diving into a little bit, but this is who you are. You want to be a healthy person. You've made the decision to be healthy. Then little by little, you automatically start to make the right choice. You don't have to think, oh, will I have this chocolate cake or will I have this, you know, banana smoothie. Mm-hmm. You automatically go for the banana smoothie. You start to just automatically be that person whose default is, I'm going to make healthier choices. And, yeah, now and again you go off the rails, but who cares? Because, you know, you automatically go back to being healthy. Well, it's the same with someone who wants to be wildly wealthy fast. It's like, you've got to, at the start, if you're not wildly wealthy, it's because of your mindset. So you have to be very conscious and aware of what you're thinking on a consistent basis, how you're feeling. If you feel bad, you know you're thinking a thought that's taking you away from what you want. So you've got to consciously, you know, be aware of that. But over time, you will start to change at a cellular level. And mm-hmm. your default will be that person who is more focused on prosperity than on lack. And when your default becomes that, that's when you start to just naturally attract more to you. And that's when, you know, it starts to be effortless. And that's why at the start most people give up, because it's like it seems like work. But when you compare it to normal work to create prosperity and abundance, normal work to create money, normal work to make a wage, make an income, doing all these amazing processes that seem like just fun little exercises, it's like, why wouldn't you want to do it? when you know it's going to change who you are at a cellular level, and that cellular level change is what's going to allow you to completely change everything that's happening on the outside. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it's really, and I'll always come back to it, combining the practical with the metaphysical and changing who you are on the inside. And when that happens, you don't have to then sort of struggle to suppress that feeling of lack or struggle to think the right thought, because you've retrained, you've rewired who you are, mm-hmm. rewired your brain, but also changed at a cellular level. And so it just becomes easy. And it's like anything. At the start, it can seem hard. It can seem challenging. You want to give up. But if you keep going, all the rewards are just, you know, one step away. You just got to keep going.
So true. So what would you share with us? What was your biggest failure? What has been your biggest failure?
Oh, gosh, how many can I choose from? Like, so many, it's not funny. Gosh, my biggest failure. So I think I'd like to actually share a couple. I think when it comes to business, probably the first biggest failure I had was not systemizing my business. Because when it was small and you're doing most of the stuff yourself, it's very easy to just do it all and, you know, think this is great. But when you start to grow big and you've got to get someone else to do what it is you're doing, having to then explain it all and take the things that are in your head out of your head and put it into a system, that has been one of the most challenging things I think I've ever experienced in growing my business. And, you know, when my business was much smaller, great, did it all myself, didn't have to think about it. It's like driving a car. You just get in there and go. You don't have to think about every step. But when you get that little bit bigger and suddenly you have to put people on, which I did, we started to create systems and processes, and it was great. And so everything was running. I didn't have to think about it. Then those team members left and things changed in the business. We used different software, different programs. And then suddenly, you know, so we're going along and I'm thinking everything's all right. But as people leave and new people come on board, suddenly nobody knows what to do because the systems have changed. And so I went for many years just on a day-to-day basis as a business owner, emailing people, do this, you do that, you do this this way, and you do that the other way. And literally, it completely, completely shut down my creativity, and it completely sort of stopped the flow of great ideas and stopped the flow of, you know, as much prosperity as I could have, because I was so immersed in just the day-to-day running of the business as opposed to creating things and delivering amazing products and programs. So the one thing I can suggest to people, even if you're brand new to business and you've only been open a week, start to write down every single thing you do in your business and create a system and a process for every part of your business, because it's going to allow you to grow and flourish so much quicker and so much easier when the time comes to actually hand some of those, you know, tasks and projects, et cetera, off to your team. So that's one thing I would suggest. And that doesn't sound like a huge failure, but it really can be. You know, long term, it can be a huge failure. As for other failures, let me think of a really huge, massive one. Okay, this one's going to be a big one. But some of you are going to go, "Oh, poor you! I feel sorry for you," because it's like the poor little rich girl failure. But basically, what happened for me was when I was selling The Secret, and we were, you know, literally making. My best month when I was selling The Secret, I made just over $400,000 in that month. And that was from selling The Secret, selling my products. I also had a seminar at the same time. So, you know, from someone who'd been $100,000 in debt on welfare, and my welfare income from the government was $15,000 Australian dollars, which at the time was about $7,500 US dollars a year. So that was my income. Not a good place to be. So from being, you know, getting that as an income to then suddenly having one month where I made over $400,000, that was huge, like bigger than big. But what happened for me was I was not the planner. I was not the one who handled their money well. And so for me, I had all this money. It was like, oh, I'm going to buy my own house now, because I'd been renting this beautiful house in what I call Millionaire's Row. It was really lovely, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't my sort of thing. But it was nice, but it wasn't really my personality. So I thought, I'll buy a house. So I've got a touch of OCD. So when I went to buy a house, I'm looking at so many houses. I bought 5 houses at once.
What?
Stupid. Completely stupid. And most of them were negatively geared, which I thought was a great idea because I thought I want it negatively geared because my tax is so huge for making all this money. I need to be able to save money on my tax. So, you know, I need all these properties to actually be costing me a bit so I can bring my tax down. Just really stupid, not really getting the right advice. So I bought all these properties at once. And then, oh, fancy that. The Secret had suddenly aired on TV in Australia. So suddenly The Secret people were allowed to sell it in Australia. So suddenly every man and his dog was selling The Secret. So suddenly all that income I was making from The Secret disappeared. Completely disappeared.
Oh.
And I had 5 properties that I had to settle on and then service, and the negatively geared amount that I had to come up with just to pay for these properties was something like $240,000 a year. Talk about making a dumb money decision. So that was a very, very stressful time for me because not only did I have all these properties to service, I also had a huge tax bill of close to $300,000 because I'd made so much money. And I had not very much income because when the secret sales dried up, I went into fear in that moment because, like, suddenly, oh, my gosh, I've got to come up with, you know, about $500,000, $500,000, and my income sort of dried up and, oh, my gosh, and it was, like, a really freaky time for me. So, but I like to share that because I like people to understand that just because successful people look like they're completely successful doesn't mean that they're not making stuff ups along the way. But what successful people do differently is they keep going. I would guess that probably 99% of the people that were in my situation at that time would just give up, throw their hands in the air, curl up in a corner, cry their eyes out, and go bankrupt. And I could have easily chose that option. In fact, I think I did curl up in the corner and cry my eyes out. But I chose to keep going, and I knew that with my mindset, if I really put my mind to it and by taking consistent practical action, that I somehow, no idea how, would completely change that. And, you know, I did. I just came up with another idea and just ran with it. And it's just a matter of continuing to put one foot in front of the other, never giving up. Going back to understanding, even when I was in that really scary place that time, knowing that, you know, my mindset is what has created my prosperity, and if I've done it once, I can do it again, and just continuing to move forward. And for me, you know, that's only one of the – I've made so many mistakes, it's not funny. But the thing I learned from that is you really have to surround yourself with people who know more about certain things than you do. So, you know – whilst I had created a program called Wildly Wealthy Women and my business partner had taught all about real estate investing, you would think that I would sit in every session and learn whatever I could. I didn't do that. I actually was busy, you know, organizing the seminar and going off having a juice with my best friend and going shopping and not listening to what I should have about, you know, how to make money in a very practical way. And so I paid the price. You know, I thought I knew enough to be dangerous, and I was dangerous, but to myself. And so you've got to surround yourself with people who know more than you do about certain things that you don't know about, and then take their advice, and so you don't make stupid mistakes.
How did you pull yourself out of that?
Well, I've got an internet business, and the great thing about an internet business is you can just get excited about another product and program. For me, what happened was I had so many people consistently from the day I became a coach always saying, I want to do what you're doing. I love being able to work from home. I would love to be able to work in the personal development industry. I would love to be able to, you know, do what you're doing and coach people and be able to immerse myself in all things about being better myself and then help other people to be better. It's like I want to help people achieve their goals. And so basically I thought, you know what, I need to give people what they're asking for. Everyone wanted to know how to be a coach. So I had been a coach trainer about when I went through my coach training in, I think it was 2001, I had been so successful building my coaching practice that they'd asked me to be a trainer. So I'd been a trainer for about a year. And then I decided, you know, 10 years, I only did it for a year, and then I thought, no, I'm doing my own thing. And then So after everyone had been asking me for so long to be a, you know, how do you do what you do, I launched the Inspired Spirit Coaching Academy. And so I've trained people around the world to be law of attraction coaches, and we've trained over 1,000 people now in about, I think, 25 countries. And so they go out and build their own law of attraction business, coaching business. But what I did was, so that was about 2006 or 2007, that, you know, had a bit of a, another dip in the prosperity. But then in 2008, I decided to launch the Inspired Spirit Coaching Academy and teach everything I knew about the law of attraction. And again, you know, it was hugely successful out of the gate. We had about, I think it was about 120 or 130 people that very first intake. And, you know, all I did was hold 2 live teleseminars and send out 2 emails about the program, and, you know, everyone signed up. So, and that program has been so successful. We've had, as I said, you know, thousands of people go through the program. And so it's just a matter of, I know the universe is there to support me. And I know that when I do all the metaphysical work, when I clear that channel between me and the universe gives me great ideas. And I take inspired action. I actually make it happen rather than come up with an idea and then go, oh, I don't know, coaching academy, how would that work and what would I do? And oh, my gosh, I don't know if I could train anyone and how would that all come together? And oh, I don't think anyone wanted to be that. No, I don't think I should do that. I don't listen to all that crap. I just go in full steam ahead. I'm of the mindset that it's all about, I know we're taught ready, aim, fire, but I'm of the mindset it's ready, fire, aim. So come up with the idea, just get ready, and then fire. Just make it happen, and aim is when you tweak it and perfect it and make it better as you go. That's how I've learned to create success. Because if I did it the other way around, if I did it the ready, aim, fire, if I would get stuck in the aim. I would get stuck in making it right. I'm a perfectionist. But as a perfectionist, what happens when you're trying to make something right, you're forever putting it off. You become the perfectionistic procrastinator because you are always trying. There's always something you can do to make it better. So it's like I have to switch that off and just go from ready, fire, aim. And for me, that has allowed me to create so much success because I know that because I have an internet business, it's very easy to change an offer. It's very easy to change your website. It's very easy to change a program so that, you know, the first time you roll it out, if it didn't go exactly the plan, you thought up something better you could add or a different way to do it, the next time you roll it out, you just change it. You don't have to reprint 5,000 brochures and, you know, have all that expense. You just go on your website and make a change, and it's instantly better. So, you know, for me, that's really the internet, and that attitude has allowed me to create the success. And as I said, opening that channel between me and the universe, listening to what's happening. And I'm not saying that, you know, God yells down at me and it's like, oh, okay, thank you. It doesn't happen like that. It's just you get an idea, you get this thought, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll try that out. And as I said, some have been absolute failures and some have been amazing, and it's just a matter of I take action, and, you know, taking action shows me whether it's right or wrong. If I take action and it flops, well, I know it's wrong. If I take action and it starts to gain momentum, then I know it's right.
Well, and I just love, too, what you're saying about, like, you just know that the universe loves you and supports you, and that fundamental belief that life is for you, then, and, like, you just got to keep that clear channel with the universe and keep, you know, focusing on what you want and doing your both inner and outer work, and then you get that slingshot into, like, all that you ever could imagine and then some.
Exactly. It's almost like being in that slingshot to our parallel universe where it's, like, so different than what you were, where you were and what you were experiencing. You just sort of shake your head in disbelief. But that's what it's like. That's what we can create.
Oh, I love it. So you've given us so many juicy gems. It's just so fun to just sit here and listen to you. My question is, if you were to, like, go back and, like, share 5 steps to pop your biz, or give the ladies 5 steps, or even in your own life, so your 5 steps, that would be awesome.
Okay, I think the first step would have to be get clarity. Like, get really clear on what it is you want. So for me, my clarity was I wanted to be a debt-free millionaire. That was my aim. That was my focus. So I didn't know how it was going to happen, but that's what I wanted. So get clear and set the intention for whatever it is you desire. Then the second step is you have to work on your mindset, because without your mindset, you know, in the right place without having that millionaire mindset, it ain't going to happen. So you can go out there and you can work. You can be the hardest worker that anyone has ever seen. You can be working day in, day out, working 7 days a week. But unless your mindset is in the right place, you will not achieve the true success you could. So step one is a clarity. Step two is a mindset. Then step three has to be find a mentor. So find someone who has achieved the success that you want and follow their footsteps. That is going to save you a packet in time, in energy, in money. You know, I look back to when I started back in, really created my success back in around 2003, and there were no mentors then. You know, it was all trial and error and time and effort and money and pain and challenge and oh my gosh. But these days, as I said, we are so blessed, particularly women, because there are so many amazing women mentors out there that are there to share their experiences, share, you know, step by step what they did to support you. And when I say get a mentor, it doesn't have to be, okay, I'm going to pay this mentor, you know, so many thousands of dollars or tens of thousands, or some even pay hundreds of thousands. That may be your choice. But if you don't have the money to do that, then buy their books, attend their teleseminars, you know, get a home study course, do whatever you can to just tap into their wisdom. So that's definitely the third step. The fourth step, I would say, it's kind of the two together. Build your list and stay connected, okay? That's one thing that I've found over time. When it comes to building a business, you must build a list. I'm not talking about building a Facebook list or a Twitter follower or whatever they are. I'm talking about a real email list. That is gold in any business, and you absolutely have to be focusing on building your email list, because Facebook can shut down tomorrow, Twitter could fly off into the distance, but if you've got an email list, that's your email list and it's yours forever. So, and then stay connected, because, you know, it's no point having a list and you're not connecting to them. Then the last thing I would say is persist. So no matter what happens, no matter what, you know, challenges lie ahead of you, no matter what tragedy befalls you in your business, just persist. Continue to get your mindset in the right place. Continue to take that action and you'll find that success will come. And when it comes, you will sit there and shake your head at how amazing it is and, you know, maybe at how long it took, but, you know, you kept going and it came to you, and you've got to really fill your body with gratitude for that happening, because the universe always delivers. Unfortunately, we don't get an email with a confirmation of when, but it always delivers. And if you continue to put yourself vibrationally and energetically in alignment with your desire, with your goal, with your wish, the universe will end up delivering. If you totally believe it will happen, it will happen. So you've got to persist. So it's, you know, get that clarity, make sure you create that millionaire mindset, find yourself a mentor, build that list and stay connected to them, and then persist, consistently persist. Mm.
Juicy, juicy, such good. And I know that you have some really great gifts to share. Do you want to take a moment to share? And then, just so everyone knows, these gifts and Sandy's interview will be on our interview page. So go ahead, share.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, love to. So I've put together a prosperity package. And it's a, first thing is a millionaire mindset guided visualization. So it's just a 45-minute visualization that's going to allow you to get into that place where you really believe you're a millionaire, then you have more than enough money, because that's going to vibrationally align you with the money you desire. The second thing is a fabulous little game that we have called the Millionaire Money Game. It's a 6-week email course where I actually send you money every week. When I say money, I mean virtual money. Every single game we have, I get people from all around the world saying, I've looked in my bank account and I can't see which account you put the money into. It's like, no, hello, it's a virtual game. I'm not sending you my cash. But what this does is it starts off at $1,000 and the game ends when I give you $1,000,000. And so you're to put yourself in the place of actually receiving that money, and what are you buying with it? How does it feel? What are you experiencing? And again, shifts you at a vibrational level, shifts you at a cellular level, to be that person who can create and accept and manifest more money in your life. The third thing is affirmations for your abundance. These are just great affirmations that you can listen to in the background or have playing as you go off to sleep. Again, it's reprogramming your subconscious mind. And then the fourth little part of your prosperity package is a visualization specifically for those of you who are in business called See Your Business Success. And again, it's allowing you to see it, to feel it, to be at one with it, to connect with it, to vibrationally align with it so that you can then create it in your real life. So that's the prosperity package.
Oh, juicy.
That's going to everyone. Yeah.
Everybody wants those. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sandy. I mean, it's just been, I mean, you make it feel so possible, and like the I hope everyone just really leaned in and loved this interview. And like Sandy is for real, like she was welfare to millionaire, and I love that idea of just acting on those impulses and that channel to the universe and meditation. And I mean, so everyone listening, just take what did you hear, and then take action on that and watch your life pop. We will have, Sandy, you're invited. We're having a Facebook party in our Pop Your Biz Betty's Facebook group if you'd like to join us. And everyone, I'll see you in there. I want to hear what your ahas were from this amazing interview and what your action steps are. And thank you so much, Sandy. So grateful for you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to hear of everyone's success.
Me too. All right. Namaste. Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.